Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Brian London, our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, also editor of the Gold Newsletter. Now, Brian, you sent out something to subscribers, I believe it was last week, summarizing the financial environment that we are in right now and relating it to the underlying gold price. As much as we talk about individual financial data like inflation or market moves or what have you, there's a lot of stuff to focus on. Sometimes I think it's good to take a little step back and recap some of the changes we've seen year over year, even multi-year changes, especially this year, because 2022, it's a drastically different year in a lot of senses when you look at the data from the last year and really from over the last decade. Can you please share with us that little highlight of where you're seeing the markets compared to what we were dealing with last year?
Yeah. And actually, I sent it out in my alert service yesterday. And my point was that, you know, we were talking, or have been talking really for years about, and how frustrating it was that any hint of a higher inflation number, you know, and gold was sold off. It was not acting like an inflation hedge because everything, the markets and the algos were also obsessed with Fed policy, and anything that hinted at a more hawkish Fed caused them to sell the metals, which is just, you know, a real illogical situation and something that we were waiting for, that kind of sentiment to shift in the markets. And my point yesterday was that the winds have shifted, and that the macro environment has not only turned solidly in favor of gold and silver for the more traditional reasons, but now the metals are actually responding as they should. And the way I made that point was setting up a hypothetical that imagine you're back in the gold market of a year ago, and somebody asks you, or somebody tells you that in 12 months, the dollar index is going to be over 100. The 10-year treasury yield is going to be over 2.7%. You know, the Fed is going to be saying that they're going to hike rates a half point at every meeting this year, basically. And the CPI just posted the highest inflation rate in 40 years. If somebody told you that was going to be the situation a year ago and asked you to predict what the price of gold would be in that scenario, you would say it would be back around the previous lows around 1150 or so. You would not think that would be bullish at all for gold. And yet here we are pushing $2,000 in the gold price, and that all of these situations, all of these factors that were considered a year ago as bearish for gold are now bullish or at least considered irrelevant. Like the dollar index, it's considered irrelevant. It's rising right now, but it's rising along with gold. Interest rates, yields are rising precipitously, yet gold is rising in that environment. So the headwinds are actually considered either tailwinds or irrelevant to gold right now. And I think that's a sign that sentiment, well, it's an obvious sign that sentiment has completely shifted in the market. But we're in the middle of a process where more and more generalist investors are going to be coming into the gold market and looking for ways to leverage those gains.
Yeah, Brian, I love how you laid that out, and it kind of tied into a discussion that we were having as well, that, you know, it's interesting that in previous rate hiking cycles, as we've noted in your interviews for a long time on here, it's usually a boon for the precious metals. But when you look at mainstream media releases, they always say gold and silver don't pay a yield, so interest rates will hurt. We always hear that the dollar being strong is going to hurt precious metals, but the dollar's not just been going up along with gold. The dollar's been going up along with the whole commodity complex, which just shows you that the inflationary forces are pushing prices much higher, you know, than the dollar is controlling. Even though the dollar can be a headwind or tailwind in extreme moves, it's just a lot of these myths that we hear in the market are just simply not true. And we're reminded of that. We keep hearing that gold's not a good inflation hedge. And then literally yesterday, Brian, an article came out, you know, from one of these analysts at EDF and Man Capital Markets, gold seems to be ignoring the stronger dollar and rising rates, and they seem to be singularly focused on inflation. These are the same group of people that were saying inflation wasn't going to help the precious metals. So when you look at this from a macro backdrop with so many decades in the industry, do you think we'll still continue to see higher precious metals prices even as this rate hiking cycle unfolds?
Yeah, we will. I mean, that's what the history tells us. And you know, there are some explanations for why that dynamic works or has always worked. But regardless, we know it works. We know this is what happens. And, you know, the people that said gold is not an inflation hedge were absolutely right. It isn't an inflation hedge, or at least not the kind that they think it is. It doesn't rise tick by tick in direct correlation to the rate of inflation. If you want an inflation hedge that does that, you need to buy oil or energy, because it's the only asset class that's actually factored into the calculation of the CPI. So it is not a tick by tick hedge on inflation. What it is, though, is a hedge on people being worried about the purchasing power of their currency. So when sentiment and worries get to extremes and people really worry that things are getting out of control, that's when they go to gold, and that's when gold hedges the value of all of your wealth. And that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, the value of the dollar is degrading by 8.5% every year. And the markets are showing some skepticism, which of course I think is well-founded, that the Fed can do anything about it. And they can't. You know, this interest rate hike cycle is going to be ended at some point far sooner than the talking heads on CNBC would have you believe. If the stock market does not tell the Fed to lay off, and if it does, the Fed will listen. They have to. They've created this monster, and now they have to feed it. But if the stock market isn't the one to tell the Fed to halt their rate hike cycle, it will be the simple cost of funding the federal debt. The Fed can't get past 2% or thereabouts on the Fed funds rate without the cost of servicing the federal debt rising to over $1 trillion a year. So that's a hard stop. That is a brick wall in the way of the Fed getting anywhere near those numbers that they're talking about. And it's a matter of simple math. So I'm really amazed that nobody's talking about it in the mainstream financial media.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how far the Fed can get, simply because, well, we're seeing other central banks now start to hike by 50 basis points. Bank of Canada did that this week, and seems like the Fed might follow. And I think we all know just how close the Fed watches the markets. But we even had Dudley, who's no longer with the Fed. He did say that the Fed is going to pressure these markets. So who knows what that means or how low the markets will go. Brian, I wanted a quick little comment on silver here, because as much as we are seeing a good environment for the precious metals, where precious metals are going up and the stocks are outperforming, gold stocks, silver stocks, those are outperforming. However, the chart for, let's say, SIL and the chart for silver, SIL is the Global Silver Miners ETF, yes, they're going up this year, but they're still very much in this range that they've been trading in for, let's say, over a year, probably about a year and a half. What's your takeaway from silver getting a buy, but still, if you're looking at it from an outside perspective, not being all that exciting of a chart?
Yeah, it's not quite as exciting as the gold chart, and I'm talking really more long-term. It didn't build that long bottoming formation, that cup and handle formation that gold did. But I'm really confident that as gold continues this rally and accelerates this rally, silver will outperform the gold, because it always has, you know. And you have to bet on, you know, on what has always happened, and assume that we're not going to see a big exception this time around. So I think silver will outperform gold. And it has been when we've had these nice pops in gold over the last week or so. Silver has generally outperformed gold on those days. So the chart's not quite as enticing, although there is a flag formation, kind of a pennant formation that coincides with a long-term downtrend that we've been pointing out in recent issues of Gold Newsletter. And once silver breaks through that area, and I think it's probably around $27 or $28, then the resolution of that chart pattern would count into the 40s. So it is in kind of a critical area right now. And, you know, at least it's over $25. You know, it did get it up over 26 briefly this week, but got pushed back. I think JP Morgan just lost hold of it for a few moments and then decided, hey, what happened here? Let's get silver back under control. But I think it's just a matter of time before it does break out to higher levels.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Brian, that silver tends to lag gold's move, but then when gold finally starts moving, silver plays catch up in big fashion, as do the silver stocks. And in every rally, even the ones we saw from 2009 to 2011, 2016, the end of 2018 through 2020, you know, we saw the silver stocks outperform the gold stocks and the stocks outperform the metals in a healthy bull market action. So likely we'll see the same thing. And I would say that SILJ was $11 back in the end of January, and now it's at 15. So that's a pretty nice move in a couple months. Yeah. So what's your outlook on the stocks? A lot of people listening are invested in the junior miners that have not been moving as much, Brian, but we know the money hits the big guys first. I mean, what's your outlook? What areas are you interested in? Are you looking at developers? Are you looking at explorers? Do you like optionality plays that may get re-rated with higher metal prices? What has your attention these days?
Yeah, you know, people think that the juniors have been really stuck in the mud and there's no excitement at all in the sector. But as I'm looking, I'm talking to companies every day. And as I'm looking here and there, kind of anecdotally, I look at some of these companies and they have great stories and say, well, that's exciting. And I look at their stock charts, and in February, they were trading, you know, 50% lower. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, I should have moved more aggressively in February. But the point being that there have been some companies here and there been doing very well, you know, going up 30, 40, 50, 60% over a couple of months. That ain't bad, you know, it really isn't. And of course, it's not sector wide. We don't have a rising tide lifting all boats. But here and there, if you can find the right companies, they're doing okay. I don't look at it the sector thematically, or I rarely do. And I'm not doing that right now. It's more of a special situation. I look at each company in each metal and at each stage of development or exploration based on its own attributes. And I'm trying to find special situations for our readers.
Brian, any news, any companies that have caught your eye that have popped off of some positive news? Because we actually have seen that a little bit this week, over the last couple of weeks. So any examples you have for us?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they popped over the last week, but Valor Metals is one that I like. I made the point in one of our recent issues that it was undervalued based on either its PGM property in Brazil or its uranium property. It's 40 million pounds of uranium in Nunavut. And the basis of either property, it was undervalued, but it had both of them. And they just announced that they're taking a strategic review at what to do about that situation, which really means they're going to sell or spin out, probably spin out one of those two properties. So investors that buy the stock right now get, you know, they get two lottery tickets instead of one. And both of them are outstanding options. So I do like Valor Metals. There are some special situations that I like. I own Valor, by the way, personally. I like Libero Copper and Gold. They're drilling their Makoa project in Colombia, a large copper porphyry. And they're drilling, it hasn't been drilled, I believe, for about 6 or 7 years. And they're drilling in what was kind of a blank spot in the middle of the deposit, but not that far away from areas where they got really, really good hits in previous drilling. And they just announced that they're extending that hole past 1 kilometer in length because they like what they see. Now, that may be discounted in the market a good bit, but all I can say is I owned the stock before they made that announcement, and I'm buying more now that they made that announcement. So I do like that one. I think Goldshore Resources is a great value right now. I don't understand why they're trading where they have, and the price has been declining, actually. But I think that Moss Mine, and they're drilling, and they're doing just a huge drill program over the next year. They're going to have lots of news out and really expand that deposit. See, I like all of this. Oh, you know, I like Anacortes too. I don't own Goldshore, but I do own Anacortes Mining. They're going to drill at some point over the next few months the Tres Cruces deposit in Peru, and they'll be seeking to confirm some drill holes that happened over the last 20 years when Barrick controlled the project and were kind of buried in Barrick. But we're talking hundreds of meters of plus 3 gram per ton gold. You know, those are the kinds of drill hits that, if they announce it in this market, will make headlines and will be market moving. So I think that is something that's probably 2 or 3 months away, and this is a good time to buy that stock as well.
Hey, some good examples there, Brian, and a couple that we have actually featured on the show recently, Libero being one that came out just today, actually, regarding that increasing of the drill hole. But hey, there's been some good news, again, that's come out of the sector and some good stock moves. So hopefully that continues. It's a better environment, much different environment that we are seeing for the precious metals. And it is starting to slowly trickle into some of the juniors. Brian, thank you as always for your time. I hope you have a great long weekend.
Great talking to you guys. Have a great Easter and long weekend yourselves.